Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Many of you may be familiar with Anne Lamott from her 1989 memoir, Operating Instructions, about her son Sam's first year of life when she was a single mother. Well, now Sam has a son of his own, also not born under the most traditional of circumstances. Together, the two Lamotts have written a memoir about new parenthood and new grandparenthood at a younger-than-expected age. It's called Some Assembly Required, A Journal of My Son's First Son. And Anne Lamott joins me now. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
And listeners, you can hear Anne Lamott read from Some Assembly Required tonight at Union Square Barnes & Noble, by the way, at 7 o'clock. There's been a huge boom of parent lit in the last 20 years. Your book, Operating Instructions, was an early celebrated entry. Would you call this new book grandparent lit?
I guess you could clinically, but it's not really about being a grandparent so much as it is about being a parent and the daughter of parents who are no longer here and a human on this earth and the grandmother of a child born to an extremely young son, a 19-year-old Sam.
The research center Child Trends recently found that now 41% of all children are born out of wedlock. For kids born to mothers under the age of 30, that number becomes 53% of all births. Is the rise in unwed mothers and presumably fathers a marriage story, a birth control story, an economic story, a culture story? What's your take?
Well, I didn't even know we still use the phrase out of wedlock. That seems so Jane Austen to me. But anyway, I didn't know those figures, but I actually don't have a clue. I think everybody in the modern era feels very lost and pummeled and overwhelmed and kind of flailing around. And I think that having a child seems like it would be grounding, whereas really it's just about as crazy as you're ever going to be.
Tell us about Sam. How did he come to be a father, and how old was he?
Sam was 19. He's 22 and a half now, and his little boy is 2 and a half. But I just got the call a few Thanksgivings ago, and he said, Mom, I'm going to be a father. He'd been with this woman, Amy, off and on for about a year, and I thought they were not seeing each other, but clearly that was not true in the biblical sense. And he was 19. He was a full-time student of industrial design at Academy of Art University. And to me, it wasn't the ideal situation, but who asked me? He was going to be a father. He and Amy had decided to go ahead, and I didn't have any input, and so I just bit my tongue. I kind of live in the acronym of WAIT, which is Why Am I Talking? And I thought, they don't care what I think anyway, so why have everybody be mad at me? So I said, okay, Sam.
And what was the decision-making process like for them?
Well, you'd have to ask them. I don't understand young people. I mean, actually, they just drive me crazy. I like people at about 40. But I don't know what it was. I think Amy really, really wanted to have a child. And no one's going to talk a woman out of that. I had a child at 35 with no husband, no man, no money, not a cent. And no one was going to talk me out of that.
So what was Sam's contribution to the book? How did you do this memoir together?
Oh, well, he did a lot of emails and a lot of interviews, and then he wrote several set pieces. They're actually my very favorite things in the book. He wrote a piece, I don't know if you read this, but on Father's Day, because he didn't meet his dad, as you'd know from Traveling Mercies, till he was 7. And they're very devoted to each other, and it's called Life on Life's Terms. It's so imperfect, but it's just what was. And so he wrote about being a father for his first time on Father's Day with a father that's come to mean so much to him. And I just find it heartbreaking. But a lot of the interviews, he'd call up and start to talk about something, and I could just tell that it was profound or a trip. And I'd say, hold on, let me find a pen, let me get my notebook, let me get my iPad, and I'd scribble it all down. And then sometimes I would do what I did when he was in high school, which was the basics of parenthood, which are bribes and threats. And I'd say, get me a piece on what it's like to have a one-month-old. And sometimes money changed hands. And then he'd write these pieces.
Is that a bribe or a threat? Never mind.
It's kind of its own combo unit. It's kind of more of a mafia thing where you slip them like, come on, honey. So somehow it came into being. When he'd send me stuff, I remember when I sent my agent stuff for operating instructions in 1989, she wrote back, she said, these things you send me get covered with tears. I'm so moved. And I felt that as a mother when Sam sent me these emails.
Anne Lamott, now the author of Some Assembly Required, a journal of my son's first son. And we can open up the phones for a few minutes for grandparents of all stripes. Are you the grandparents of a child with unmarried parents? What is your relationship to the other side of the family? Or are you a step-grandparent? And how do you connect with those kids or not? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. The two of them have broken up, Sam and Amy. How do they divide the time with their son, Jax?
Sam has Jax 3 days a week, including the weekend, and Amy has him the rest of the time. And it's not perfect, as I said, but, you know, perfectionism, as a writer, perfectionism is the voice of the oppressor, you know, it dooms you. And so I celebrate imperfection and myopia, and it's working. And he's just a beautiful, darling child who's being raised by both his parents from two separate homes.
And you spend a significant portion of the book on your relationship with Amy. In fact, the book is dedicated to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does your experience as a single mother help you to connect with her?
We just connected. They started going out 4 years ago, and she's just a very fierce and determined young woman, and I love that in a person. And she knows what she wants, and she goes after it, and I find that exhilarating. We just connected, and then as they were together, and especially after they were pregnant, I feel, even though they weren't married, that I have a kind of Old Testament mother-in-law relationship with her. I consider her my daughter-in-law, even when things have been hard in the last year since they split up, like Naomi and Ruth. And so I am amazed that things go as well as they are. And I just keep my fingers crossed and I knock whatever this is, wood, fake wood.
You mentioned Naomi and Ruth story. And in your nonfiction works, your various nonfiction works, you write a great deal about your faith, your community at St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Marin in California was a big part of your effort to get sober. And in Some Assembly Required, you and Sam visit an ashram, but Amy is Catholic. Does that become an issue when it comes to your grandson?
No, not really, because we all love St. Andrew. And Sam doesn't come as often. Amy was coming for a long time. And I take Jax to Sunday school there. He has three colleagues in nursery school. And Amy went to the ashram with us, too. I mean, we really have done things together. And no, she's Catholic, but Catholic-ish. And I'm like I'm Christian-ish and St. Andrew's Presbyterian, but it's really very Baptist because it's about people from the Great Migration. It's all old Southern women. I mean, there's only 45 of us now, so it's not like a big anything. But we all love God, and we're all sort of winging it like everyone is, and it hasn't been a big issue.
Patrick in Queens, you're on WNYC with Anne Lamott. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
My daughter is 20 years of age and having a baby next month. She's not involved with the father. He is comes from a very wealthy family, but he has his own problems, and she just chucked him over. But I'm just wondering, how much of a role can I fill as a grandparent, as a grandfather, of the role of a father without becoming too involved?
Well, I don't mean to be self-aggrandizing, but the Some Assembly Required is it's sort of like Bird by Bird was for writers. It's literally every single thing I can think of that might be useful. And for me, what I had to learn to do, and this was just a nightmare, was to learn to hold my tongue and to remember it's their kid. And it's their kid, and they get to raise it. Your daughter gets to raise him or her as she wants to, and you have to keep your mitts off. And I have a disease called Annie's Good Ideas, and it's mostly not my help is mostly not helpful. And so my best advice is to wait till you're asked to help and to breathe and to work on your own life. And you're going to be more in love than you can have ever imagined. And your daughter's going to do great. I was a single mother. And in many ways, there are some advantages to it. And the kid doesn't get caught in the crossfire of bad relationships. And so just breathe and, you know, and wait for her to ask for your help. And share your good ideas with other people.
Patrick, thank you, and good luck. And Anne in Creskill, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Leonard. How are you?
It's Brian.
I'm a grandmother by association. My husband is 60 and has 3 grandkids. I'm 50. My husband's daughter is only 15 years younger than me. And she's got 3 little boys, and they're absolute joys. And we have a wonderful time. I don't feel like a grandmother. I feel like I'm hanging out with somebody else's kids. And I don't usually have any advice at all because, you know, what the hell do I know? You know, I'm just I'm here for the ride. I also have a daughter who's 15, so it's like I'm there for the ride. That's the wonders of grandparenting. And I would never presume to have any advice for my husband's daughter because, you know what? Really?
Yeah.
I'm doing the best I can. I'm sure she's doing the best she can. What am I going to tell her, you know?
Well, I think it's
but
really...
On the other hand, you've had all this experience that she hasn't had yet.
Yeah.
It's true, but... You know, sometimes you have to let people learn things themselves. I would never let her make a gross mistake or somebody would get hurt.
Right.
But you know what?
It's kind of none of your business. Yeah. And I heard a great line the other day that someone said, with children, not their grandchild, but with children, help is the sunny side of control. And so often what the parents have the advice is really just trying to control their kids and get them to make the decisions that the parents think would be best. And I think you're right not to give advice. I don't think young people want our advice. If they ask for it, that's a whole different thing. But I think it's a blessing for your stepdaughter that you don't feel that you are speaking from the pinnacle of your wise old years and experience. And you've got the best of both worlds. You've got these hilarious, darling, precious little kids to play with. But you know, the thing about being a grandparent is it's so much easier, and then the kids leave, so it's like 2 minutes in one.
and thank you for your call. I wonder if that's, and I think this is a topic, by the way, that we could break out and do a separate segment on one day. What is the role of the grandparent in terms of giving advice to your own kids on how to parent? You know, I'll bet a lot of people were listening to that little stretch of conversation and thinking, no, it's my obligation to get in there and say what I know and even trying to push them in what I think are the right directions, some grandparents will say. But I think that's for another day. Do you think with the fact that they leave at the end of the day after they visit the grandparents that it might even be kind of a good thing? In Sam and Amy's situation, they're such young people, they're college age, they both
yes.
want to get their educations, right?
Yes.
That since they're separated, that Jack's, their baby, does split the time between one and the other, maybe it's better for each of them if they don't have to have a child in the house 7 days a week.
Oh, God, I remember I was so in love with Sam. I mean, I loved him like no one else on earth but Jesus. And yet I thought, God, how amazing if someone would come and take him for, you know, overnight, one night. If I could get one night's sleep, I would be back in the saddle. But I think I think it's wonderful for a child to be born to parents who are doing really beautifully together, where there's a lot of respect and boundaries and health. I think that's ideal, but that's very rare. And parents have a lot of issues and unresolved stuff going on, and they quibble and they fight and the kid gets stuck in the middle of it. And so I think for right now it's kind of perfect for Jax, and I don't know what the future, you know, in Texas they say, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And so I try to keep my mitts off and let them do the parenting.
Karen in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
And so
Karen, turn your radio off and pick up your phone. Karen, I'll give you 3 seconds.
Karen, pick up the phone. Karen.
Okay. All right. We'll see if we can sneak her back in.
Okay.
After I say that Anne Lamott is my guest. We're almost out of time. Her new book, written with her son Sam, is Some Assembly Required, A Journal of My Son's First Son. And you can hear her read from the book tonight at the Union Square Barnes & Noble at 7 o'clock. Karen, want to give it a quick shot?
Sure. I love what you're saying, and it makes so much sense to me. But I have grandchildren who are a little older than yours. They are 5 and 7. And they spend time with me, and I feel like we have a special connection, and we do things in a certain way that I have to feel is good for them. I do feel that. And then when I see how their parents are with them sometimes, I see a kind of abruptness, a kind of insensitivity that the children do get affected by. And I find as a grandparent, it's very difficult to, I think I do it as well as I can, but I find it difficult to just hold my, you know, mouth shut and not say something about the rearing of the children who I love so very much. I wonder if you have experienced that.
Yes, I have.
30 seconds.
30
left.
Seconds. The whole book is about this. It's about my prayer is, God, keep one arm around my shoulder and one hand over my mouth, because it's their kid. And the more you interfere, the more resentment they're going to have. And the most wonderful thing these kids could have is a loving, healthy grandmother. So I love it. I know where you are.
Anne Lamott, Some Assembly Required. A lot of people calling to react to your WAIT acronym.
Why am I talking?
We're done talking for now.
Thanks
a lot.
Brian
Lehrer on WNYC.